Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Baskin and Phelps, where for the next few hours, we're going to sit back and play Northeast Ohio's favorite game. Who is number two?
That's not my favorite game.
And we're going to find out today when special guest star Kevin Stefanski joins us live from Berea, Ohio. We have all kinds of unanswered questions. Yes, we do. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Will Shedeur Sanders be the number two quarterback this week? Or will they bring an upstart young guy off of the practice squad? Oh, yeah. How'd that come out? Very smooth. Yes.
Yeah, it really hit the point there.
We'll face it in post.
Bailey Zappi, is he your guy? 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Browns. Dylan Gabriel, your starting quarterback. Joe Flacco, now a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. Antonetti, both talked yesterday. We're going to have Chris. We were going to have on the show today, Jeff. I'll ask you.
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things.
I feel the excitement. The energy level is exactly the same as mine today.
Chris Rose at 11:40.
Yes.
We'll talk a little baseball. We'll talk a little football. Kevin Stefanski's press conference at 12:05, where he'll shed some light on everything that happened yesterday with the big trade. And then Daryl Ryder will join us at 12:40. And you never know who might pop in from time to time.
Like Anthony Allen. He just pops in whenever he wants. Anthony, are you there? Watch to see if he pops in.
I will try not to pop in this time.
We don't care if you pop in. By just kind of give us a little bit of a heads up.
Why did you start the whole thing with who's your backup quarterback? It doesn't matter.
Yes,
this is about Dylan Gabriel being the man and now having a clear path to perhaps becoming the franchise quarterback of this team. Allowing the Browns to use the 29th pick that they get from Jacksonville next year on a guard.
Will we see Deshaun Watson before we see Shedeur Sanders?
Isn't this more about Dylan Gabriel? Right now,
Jeff, no one seems to care about Dylan Gabriel.
Exactly right, Andy
and
Baskin.
That's the way
Nobody likes the poor kid.
If they would not have, and I will go to the grave on this one, if they had not drafted Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round,
people would be embracing
Dylan Gabriel. They would be like, yes.
Give me a hug, little buddy.
Yes, he's the man that can lead us to victory. Yet every person in the world like, oh, they drafted that guy in the third round, and he is going to be a career backup.
You know, what they should do is, for Halloween, Joel Bitonio is Skipper.
Okay.
Dylan Gabriel is Gilligan.
Gilligan?
Hey, little buddy.
Mr. Howell? No?
That'd be Jimmy.
Oh, I'm not touching Jimmy this with indeed. A 10-foot pole. All right, Jeff, we're sitting here now, 24 hours? And by the way, Dan Menigan's here. Hi, good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hanging it.
You having a good day?
So far, so good.
All right, I just want to make sure. Are you good with what we're doing here so far? I just want to check in.
It's all up to snuff.
All right, good. 216-474-0092. Again, Jeff told you what we got coming up on the show today. Chris Rose, Kevin Stefanski's press conference at noon, Daryl Ryder at 12:40, and Dylan Gabriel all expected to speak today.
Yeah, I did all
from
that.
Berea. I know. I'm just reiterating.
That's called teasing. It's really well
yes,
done.
Yes, it's total reiteration.
It's a way to lay it out.
Yeah, I'm glad. This
really
is
good.
14 years of this. Jeff, we sit here today.
Andy.
The Browns traded Joe Flacco to Cincinnati less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Has it sunk in?
Yeah.
And you now think what?
Good.
This is some deep Mensa analysis you're giving me, brother.
Hey, Andy, I come off as nothing but a bad guy on this. I thought it was a bad idea to sign Joe in the first place. Then I thought it was a worse idea that he ended up as the starting quarterback.
If they wouldn't have brought Kenny in first, would it have been a bad idea?
Not as bad. I just don't. And Joe will have some games down in Cincinnati. I don't think Joe's as good as he used to be. I don't mean that in any bad way. I'm paid to sit here and not blow smoke up his wazoo. I'm here to say what I'm think about it. I don't think he's a very good quarterback anymore. He can throw really well, but that doesn't make you a good quarterback.
That means if you want to go to the fair and you want to have him throw it through the tire, you're in good shape.
Knock down the three bottles.
Yeah. No, that's a softball, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but same deal.
No, you got to throw the football through the tire.
I'll bet you he has some really nice games in Cincinnati, and I'll bet you they don't make the playoffs. You know, and that's okay.
That's if. Well, what if Burrow comes back at the end of the season? You think they'll have enough games?
If
they need him to be a Band-Aid to get them to within a chance of still being able to make the playoffs.
Yeah, the word out of Cincy is the only way Joe is coming back is if when he gets to the point where he might be healthy enough that they have a chance. He's not going to come back if, you know, they're like
if they're out of it
5-9, something like that, you know. And it's not going to be until very late in the season anyway. So, but I wish Joe nothing but the best of luck there. I again, if you were going to bail on Joe so fast after bailing on Kenny Pickett before he even played it down, then what the hell were you really doing?
I don't understand. I'm in the same boat.
I don't get it.
What were they trying to do?
I don't get it. Collect fifth-round draft choices? Great. What are you going to do with those? Good. Is Jamari Thrash available? Let's bring him in again. Nothing against Jamari. He might become a great player. I don't quite get it. Because
does this move make the front office look indecisive? I'll use that word. I'll be gentle.
I'm puzzled by what they're doing, to be honest. I truly think of the guys here, at least at this early point of the season, in theory, anyway, okay? Might not be in reality because Joe didn't play real well here and they didn't play real well with Joe. In theory, the two guys who gave this team the best chance to actually win football games this year
are no longer here.
Are no longer here. That now, Dylan might step in and become really, really good. Dylan might get hurt and Shadur might start and he might be really, really good. And if so, great on either one of those guys. I don't care which one it is. If one of those guys, if Bailey Zappe can step in and become really good and they win football games, great. But in theory, the two guys who gave them the best chance to win, especially early on, got dealt away for fifth-round draft choices.
Well, maybe they can get Zappe in for a couple games and get another fifth-round choice. We would have all kinds of. I mean, we're almost. If you had 3 fifth-round choices and 2 first-round choices, that's a full house, isn't it?
You could draft a kicker and a punter and a long snapper. In the fifth round, you can get a good one in the fifth.
Jeff, do we think Bailey Zappe is going to be the backup this week?
Let me make sure I say this the right way.
I probably shouldn't say we. Do you?
I think there's a really good chance he could be, and it's for this reason and this reason only. Stuff that we've read said that if and when Shadur Sanders' chance to start this year comes, they will do it during a full week. In other words, if Dylan Gabriel were to get hurt, the last thing they want to do is, at least this is the way I'm interpreting it, the last thing they want to do is throw Shadur on the football field without a chance to get the first team reps in practice, without a chance to get as much preparation in as he can for that game. In other words, what does that do? They're trying, if that's the case and he has to play, they want to try and maximize his potential for success. Well, that's commendable, Andy. That's commendable. If you make the kid the second quarterback now, and he didn't take any first-team reps, and something happens to Gabriel, and Shadur goes in and hasn't had proper preparation time for a rookie who they probably didn't think as highly of as Dylan Gabriel because they drafted him two rounds later, well, then that might be doing him and the rest of the team a disservice. So that's why if they name Bailey Zappe the second-string quarterback, I would get it. And if something were to happen to Dylan Gabriel and Dylan, like on a Sunday, and Zappe came in and played and was okay, and just okay, I would expect Shadur Sanders to be the starting quarterback for the next game. In fact, I would hope that he would be.
All right,
if,
so
if they deem him ready.
I'm trying to follow along here with what you're saying.
And Dylan Gabriel as well. Maximize their potential for success. And that's why first-team quarterbacks get all the reps. So Dylan Gabriel's going to get all the reps this week. And I almost think it would be unfair to Shadur to make him the second-string quarterback after he doesn't get any reps to get ready to go to Pittsburgh and play a game if something were to happen to Dylan Gabriel and he and Shadur had to go on the football field not as prepared as the Browns would like him to be. If all that's true. Now, that said, they could name him the second-string quarterback and just go for it.
What do you think they're going to do then? I truly think you're right. I don't know if it was both you guys said this before, but I think Bailey Zappe is going to be the backup quarterback this week.
I think he is,
because he's got, what, 12 starts in the NFL. He's had some playing time for a young guy. Nine starts, played 15 games.
How's that? He's played more than the other quarterbacks combined, including preseason games. Let's keep in mind, though, if what we've read and have heard about is true, that if Shadur were to, if something were to happen to Dylan Gabriel, either he didn't play well or he got hurt, I would hope that Shadur was ready enough that they would say he's going to start next week and they would give him all the reps and let's see what he can do.
But you believe this based on the fact that they want to give him a full week to get ready for any team he's going to play?
No, it's maximize his ability to succeed. That's what I think. And I commend them for that, if that's what's going on. And with Dylan Gabriel, all right, you gave Joe a chance. It didn't work. Dylan, you played 6 years of college football. You played in the preseason. You've watched Joe a little bit. You've been in the meeting rooms. Let's go.
Does Gabriel get to approach this as a rookie, or does he approach this as a third-round draft pick?
Oh, no, he's a
who's
rookie.
Who's got an opportunity to go out there? Because if he's a rookie, you may have a lot more patience if he starts making mistakes.
Yeah, well, Andy,
and that you're willing to fight through those, even if it means getting blown out, even if it means losing, all of those things that you have put yourself in a position to let Gabriel be the quarterback at this point.
Yeah, well, and here's the
other. And truthfully, forgetting about who the number two is or who the emergency is or whether Bailey Zappe's on the roster or Sanders is on the roster, that the guy they wanted in the draft, at least in the third round.
Yeah, there you go. Good caveat.
Is the guy you want to stick with. In fact, you probably were pushing this agenda the entire time Joe Flacco was here.
In New York, Jackson Dart was named the starter, and Russell Wilson went to the bench. On the bench in New York, they have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. If it doesn't go well for Jackson Dart and they think he needs to step back a little bit, you can go play Russell Wilson. He threw for 450 yards a couple weeks ago. You can go play Jameis. We know what he can do. They can play. If it doesn't go well with Dylan Gabriel, give me a better option. He's in Cincinnati now.
Yeah.
If you liked it.
Unless you think it's Bailey Zappe.
He's in Vegas now. So that's why I think Dylan Gabriel is going to get a long run here, Andy.
All right, we're going to find.
And at this point, he should. He should.
Well, the way they put this, the way they've laid this out, you're right. The way everything seems to have come together here as we head into another week for a 1-4 team, desperately trying to find some sort of identity going into the Lions' den this week in Pittsburgh, coming off a couple weeks ago. Which one?
Ford Field. The Lions' den.
No, this is a different one.
This is the Steel Den.
Where are you going?
Dan got it. He gave me a rip.
They going
shot.
Into the what is this smelter? What is it? What is it? Where they?
It's going into the blast furnace.
Okay, he's going into the blast furnace.
Furnace.
Furnace miner. going into the blast furnace
there you go.
At Pittsburgh. That's you're throwing boy. The rookie in for his second start. And here we sit asking the question, who is the number two quarterback
on
this team? Yeah,
question.
I'm asking. I want to know.
Kevin
should Shedeur Sanders be the number two this week?
Kevin
it's not that hard.
Us.
He'll tell
for,
us. But
let's
what
wait
you,
for Kevin.
How should this play out? What does it say if he is? What does it say if he isn't?
Oh, my God.
216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Okay.
We both heard in the break that it might be smart to prepare for Bailey Zappe to be the backup quarterback and Shedeur to stay at the number three spot when practice opens up tomorrow. Right?
No. I thought it was Bailey Zappe at the two spot and Deshaun Watson in the third spot.
Oh, is that what? Did I just?
That's what I heard.
Okay.
That's why I was like, does Shedeur go to the practice squad in the scenario? Like Shador's not even, he's not even, he then gets, that's a demotion for Shedeur. That's not even third. That's a demotion for Shedeur.
Who wants to go off first? Because I wondered,
you seemed very like not. You seemed like kind of nonplussed by the whole thing.
It wasn't the
Bailey Zappe thing. Listen, if Bailey Zappe ends up being the number two quarterback, am I thrilled about that? No, I'm not. But am I going to be like, oh, geez, what's going on? No, clearly they're just convinced that he's not ready, and they're just going to tuck him away, and they're just not going to do anything with him. No, but the Deshaun side of this is what makes it just bonkers.
You know, you don't. Can I? Browns, because I know you're watching here on the YouTube channel. Hi. You don't have to do this.
Because I.
Okay? Yeah. No one wants this. There's nobody out there. It's like,
you know how angry?
How does Deshaun look? How does he look after the Achilles and after the shoulder injury and after the allegations and after the trade and after the worst trade? There's nobody asking how he looks. Nobody wants to see this. And some weird idea of, well, we have to see what we have in Deshaun. We had 3 years. What we have is a broken quarterback mentally and physically. You do not have to do this. It's not about Shedeur. It's not like, guys, you're playing Timu Tua, and I'm not bashing you. I gave the kid credit yesterday for being adequate. All right? I'm here. Let's go. Let's give me another 12 games of this guy. Right? I'll get a shorter quarterback with a worse arm. I don't give a rip.
Sure.
Is the homeless guy that told you to draft Manziel? Actually, Johnny Manziel is talking a lot about Cleveland. Let's say, listen, we'll give you some guaranteed money. We'll give you something to hit on the slopes. Let's get back with it, Johnny Manziel. Because that's a better idea than playing or having Deshaun as a third stringer at any point.
I mean, is there an avenue that Shedeur doesn't play at all this season?
No. You would have to be the dumbest bunch of goobers to not play Shedeur. And I'm talking about even if it's just a week 18.
I'm glad you're saying it, because if I say it, then people just accuse me of being a honk or whatever it is. I'll let you just keep going off.
Like, this is, we're talking, Connor Shaw played in, Jeff Driscoll played in week 18. Like, this idea we got to be precious with Shedeur Sanders in week 18. But no, this is about, okay, I'm not even that hot, by the way, about Bailey Zappe as the backup, because it's still week 6.
Well, but Bailey
right?
Zappe, we need to remind everybody, still makes absolutely no sense and gets you no further in any sort of development or anything if Bailey Zappe plays at all.
But
you're wasting people's time if Bailey Zappe plays.
But I understand the argument of, well, Shedeur's still not ready to be the backup. I think it's infantilizing and insulting, but again, it's not my quarterback. I can't be upset about that. Now, if Bailey Zappi's still the backup for the final 12, 13 games of the season, then we got a real problem. But sorry, there's 12. That's how it is. Math works that way. But Deshaun, I'm sorry. Like, I have never, ever in my life come close to stop being a Browns fan. it's going to be really hard for me to give anybody in that organization any credit. It's going to be really hard for me. I'm going to watch him because it's my job. It is going to be really hard for me to do anything and respect anyone in that organization ever again if you put him out there for the fourth year. There's just no need. You're not going to win. He's not going to do well. And even if he does well, it opens up a can of worms that you don't need to open up. You're going to cut him at the end of this season. Everyone's going to give me a cap reason why it's not going to happen. You're going to cut his ass.
It's March of 2027. We've gone over the cap reasons. It's very, very hard.
I still don't believe it.
It's very,
I don't think Deshaun's going to be here next year.
It's very hard to pull off.
I'll say it again. I don't think Deshaun's going to be here next year. Not because it makes no sense for him to be here. But it makes no sense as well to put him out there this year, no matter what of anything. And the idea that they would do that is beyond insulting to the Cleveland Browns fans who didn't want him here in the first place or who are just sick of watching him fail tremendously in every regard. Just, you don't have to do this. And if you do it, I'm sorry. I've got this much respect left for this organization.
Where's the win for them in it? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, do they think Deshaun is going to come out and then all of a sudden be awesome and we'll just forget the fact that his body is completely broke? He's just an injury-prone player. And then when he's on the field, he can't actually play anyway. Like, are we just going to forget these things? Like, what happens if he plays for like four games? Do they think it's going to go well?
I know what it is. I know. The hope is that he plays just well enough that you can trade him and another sixth rounder to another team for a fifth rounder. Oh, well, you know what? Take back everything I've said.
But you won't because he's too much money for the following year, too.
Well, no, you'll eat some of that.
You're not going to be able to.
No, you'll eat some of that. Don't worry. No. They're going to turn another sixth rounder into a fifth rounder. Let's do that. Come on.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's so nonsensical. Every bit of it is just, it doesn't add up. It doesn't compute. Here's what I'm believing. I'm believing until we see something otherwise that the Haslam grand plan that he laid out for everybody. Haslam told you the cheat sheet. He told you what was going to happen. He said it would be Flacco, and then we're going to see the two quarterbacks, the two rookie quarterbacks. So I, as this season progresses, that's going to be my North Star. I'm going to keep looking into what Haslam said as the guiding truth, and then we'll see where it goes.
I can't believe
that Deshaun would be third ahead of a demotion for Shador.
I think that is what you're saying right now. I think that is a smart and mentally healthy way of handling this.
Well, I have to protect my mental health.
Yeah, you got to protect your chickens and protect your mentals.
I don't have chickens.
Yet. Marshawn, listen, you live in no-so.
You think I have chickens at some point?
Like, chickens is a metaphor, all right? You go back and watch the Marshawn clip. Protect your mentals, protect your chickens. It makes a hell of a lot of sense if you just think about it, even if you don't have chickens yet.
Okay.
That's a very smart way of doing it. I will say, I cannot allow you to do this, Browns. I can't. I cannot. No, there's nobody that wants to see this. This is beyond insulting to Browns fans. And honestly, have we forgotten that locker room was a black hole of energy last year? It was so bad.
Yeah, people walking around like monsters.
I mean, they were zombies.
Zombies.
There's nobody in that locker room. They might like Deshaun, right? But there's nobody in that locker room that still believes in Deshaun. And even if they say it publicly, they don't believe it.
Well, we know nobody believes in Bailey Zappe because why would you?
Bailey Zappe doesn't believe in Bailey Zappe.
He's just a guy cashing checks at this point, and that's fine.
Listen, the Bailey thing's going to upset a lot of Shador fans, and I get it. It's just not my fight. The Deshaun thing is. Like, it is, like, you stop insulting your fans. Like, I know you want to take your victory laps after one win. Oh, I know the haters will say it. I know you want to take your victory lap after every win, even if you only get three wins in a season. I know that you want to tell everyone, look how smart we are. And maybe one of us will give you a gold star. How about this? I'll promise you a gold star if you just don't put Deshaun out there again. There is just no need. There's no upside. And all it's going to do this whole season is about the poison pill for the dumbest trade in NFL history. Not the second dumbest, not the third dumbest, not honorable mention for the dumbest trade. The dumbest and most destructive trade in NFL history. Mm-hmm. And I don't give a damn if Deshaun guarantees you to get the number one pick. You've got a myriad of ways to get that. This would be beyond insulting and you need to stop. Somebody, if it's Haslam, if it's JW, if it's Cletus, if it's Billy Bob, Betty Sue, whichever Haslam has the keys to the kingdom right now,
and what's
can
funny,
someone
Nick,
smarten up over there?
Nick, what's funny about it is that I'm insulted just by the idea. It's not even him playing at this point. It's the idea that they put him ahead of Shador at any point in this depth chart scenario. Like that's the insult. Like he could never play again. And the idea that at some point they sat down and said he is above Shador in the depth chart is the part that's enough for me just to lose my mind.
Wadsworth's backup quarterback right now, who I believe is 15. He could be the third man on the depth chart. And I would want him over Deshaun Watson. Radu on Twitter saying, you do realize there are people in the Browns organization who want to justify the Watson trade. Cool. Fire him.
But they already lost.
No.
Like blow their asses out. The hay's in the barn. There's no justifying it.
If you've got an agenda.
It's over. It's done.
If you've got an agenda this year, 4 years in, if you've got an agenda, then you're probably part of the reason why this thing has failed so tremendously the last 2 years. Jay Knows Sports saying, why do y'all hate number four so much? One, he's got a name. Four. I'm 12 guy. Yeah, I'm a seven guy. Shut up.
I like the numbers thing.
I think it's the dumbest thing in the world.
We started with Baker.
They have names.
We did six a lot
Every
with Baker.
Every player has a name.
I like the numbers. Nah, I like the numbers.
If I walked up to Myles Garrett and said, hey, 95, go get him, I'd hope that he punched me in the skippies. But no.
It's not a cool thing.
Here's the thing. I don't hate the person. I'm tired of the player. I'm tired of the contract. I'm tired of the worst trade in NFL history, while apparently Baker Mayfield's going to be a friggin' NFL MVP. So with all due, it has nothing to do with Deshaun. It has everything to do with what Deshaun represents. Galactic failure. I mean, holy crap level failure
it's
by the Cleveland
to do
Browns.
With Deshaun for me.
So my point is, I don't know Deshaun. 4 years in, I'm no closer to knowing Deshaun because he hasn't made it a point to let us know Deshaun. He's let his on-the-field play do the talking, and it has been abysmal. So it's not a so. Quite frankly, at some point, we all made peace with the reasons why you shouldn't really want Deshaun Watson here in the name of, oh, but good football. What if he plays good football? No. Now this is about learn your lesson. I don't know, but maybe it's because I don't have billions. When life kicks me in the head two or three times, I tend to listen. I tend to be, you know what? I'm not going to touch that stove again. Right? Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that thing again. That three times I've done it has burnt me to this point. But apparently the Browns can't. We have to justify the Watson trade. You're not justifying anything. You're being arrogant, and honestly, you're condescending your fans if Deshaun Watson touches that field.
Well, you're also really, you're condescending to the players, too. Shador gives you a much better chance to win games than Deshaun ever will. But again, Shador gives you a better chance to win games than Bailey Zappi does, too. Like, this is the part that, it just makes no sense to me. Why can't they see the idea that there's so much upside to be had with Shador, while Deshaun, there is zero upside to be had here? You're not winning anything with the fans doing this. You're not winning anything from a game standpoint doing this. The wins aren't there, but they could be there if you have Shador. That's the part that I can't get around my head here, Nick. It doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to win football games, none of it makes sense. And maybe that's the reality. Maybe they're just not trying to win football games.
So if you guys are just joining us, JP and I were informed that at least somebody around
here
believes.
Are they scared Shador will take him out of a draft position?
Yeah, at this point, I don't know if they're more
like maybe that's what I need to be looking at this. Like if Bailey Zappi or Deshaun play, maybe it's because they know that they'll lose enough games to be able to make sure that their draft position is good.
That'd be really weird because then you'd be like, well, hey, we got a quarterback in Shador.
Only thing that makes sense because Shador gives him a much better chance to actually win than those quarterbacks.
So JP and I were told that we should expect Bailey Zappi to be the backup quarterback and Deshaun to be QB3, which honestly, when I was told, I just heard Shador to be quarterback 3 because that's how much I want to hear Deshaun Watson is QB3. How are we feeling about this? You guys want to see Deshaun again this year? Come on, 216-474-0092. Get in on that chat, super chat. We want to hear from you guys on YouTube. How excited are you guys?
I like when you turn into your influencer.
To see Deshaun Watson again. Come on, guys. Let's get behind four. Come on. We got what's Dylan's number again? I've already forgotten it. Is it 8?
We changed it. Yeah, it's 8 now. Yeah.
Let's get behind 8, 2. And let's get behind 12. You know what? Put the homeless guy in a jersey. Let's call it number 18. Let's get behind 18 as well.
I like the number game. I do.
You guys want to see Deshaun again? 216-474-0092. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So the Browns trade for Tyson Campbell of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is a corner. They trade away Greg Newsom. We had a caller, Kevin in Georgia, who was upset. He said, well, they traded away for a bag of footballs. And I went, well, hold on here. Like, I am really in so many ways nonplussed by the trade. The trade itself. The trade and what it signifies. You made a trade on Wednesday night a few days before the Steelers game. That's it for the season. Stick a fork in it. That's it. Somebody tweeted us yesterday, very nice guy, said, gosh, Steelers week, and these guys are talking about Joe Flacco. I go, yeah, it wasn't our fault. That's not our fault. He goes, yeah, you're right. I go, it's not our fault. And here we are a few days before the Steelers game, and we're talking about Greg Newsom being traded. And we will talk probably a couple of days before the Dolphins game about another guy getting traded. Yeah.
You made this decree before the season.
Make it forgettable. There we go.
Make the season forgettable.
And they are
doing. Is it a forgettable season right now?
As of right now, I think some of this is going to be unforgettable, but I'll forget a lot of these things. A lot of these things. So I'm trying to stay measured.
You'll forget to play on the field.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to stay measured here. But it's going to be hard for apathy not to set in for a lot of people because this is one of the rivalries that are preserved in the NFL by its fans on both sides, and you're making trades of starters. Before the game even begins in a few days. So you're going to welcome in Tyson Campbell. Let me tell you, though, where I have to... This is going to sound like a defense of Andrew Berry. Like, I can't sit there and rip him for every single move. I have to be as honest as I can and as fair as I can. I am mad that the Browns are going to be bad this year. I am mad because I think that they have completely warped whatever quarterback competition, or it's not, guys, it wasn't even a competition. You got to get guys ready for the season. That whole thing was warped. I'm mad about that. I'm mad because I'm starting to see signs of, they'll win more than that, but I'm starting to see signs of 2016. Guys playing before they're supposed to play, like, hey, let's just see what so-and-so has. Like, I'm starting to get upset about that. I'm getting upset because next year's QB class ain't what a lot of us thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. And so we have to readjust some of our expectations. So guess what? I'm going to be watching Indiana and Oregon like a hawk. Is John Mateer going to play on Saturday morning?
He says he's trying to.
He's the gamer right there, baby. That's a good egg.
I looked. He was warming up before the Kent State game, even knowing he wasn't going to play.
He wanted John those Mateer. Flashes, man.
John Mateer, babe. But I said, I go, from a football sense, right now, it's a lateral move. Because it's not laser eyes. And if I say laser eyes anymore, guys, that's a gag. It's not laser eyes because you are throwing in the towel, finally, on your first-round pick, where people were really heated to trade him away a couple of years ago because he wasn't playing that well, and maybe he had to say he was in a different spot. You got Martin Emerson Jr. He's the third-round pick. He's playing better, this, that, the other. It's a lateral move because you're getting a guy in return that – if you pay any attention to the Jaguars, and when it comes to the other teams in the NFL, I don't pay as much attention to the Jaguars as the other teams, but I know the Jaguars fans feel that they are unloading an unnecessary contract and a mistake by Trent Baalke. I think that that's what their media believes. I think that's obviously what they believe. Tony Khan and Shad Khan and everybody believes. They think that's a mistake and they're moving on. It has the possibility to be a positive for you and be a win for you. If Greg Newsom goes down there and plays, fine. He's going to cost them more money. Wasn't going to cost you money. If Tyson Campbell comes back to form, you got to coach him up. He's got to be put in a better position. If Tyson Campbell comes back to form like he was a couple of years ago, okay, well, then you have a guy that costs you less money. Now, the back end of that contract, you're talking about a lot of money, but if he's playing well, that's the going rate. So by that time that it comes around, that's what you're going to pay a 25-year-old guy. You're gambling on that there's still tread on those tires that's very deep and very good. So it makes football sense. So when a caller calls in where I'm going, yeah, you know what? I'm not really over the moon about the trade. It is what it is. It seems to be a lateral move. But when a caller says we traded him for a bag of footballs, I don't think Tyson Campbell is garbage. And I wasn't mad about that. So I have to defend Andrew Berry when I don't want to defend Andrew Berry.
The only,
I think it makes some football sense, yes.
I guess I'd rather wonder from fans, because fans aren't going to know who this dude is. They brought in from Jacksonville, obviously, who was drafted how many slots behind, you know, Newsom?
Five
last
or six.
Year.
So, wasn't that long.
So I did get a message from somebody that works in the NFL, and they're like, they thought it was strange. You normally don't see player-for-player trades anyway, but they thought it was strange because they thought you could get Newsom. They could have gotten at the deadline maybe a third-round pick for Newsom. So what would be more valuable to the Browns, a third-round pick at the deadline or this, as you call them, a reclamation project and whatever
else?
If
he plays like a borderline, a early second-round pick, border first-line pick, then first-round pick, then, yeah, he's more valuable because he's already paid. And if you get the right, because, boy, there's a lot of ifs. If you get the right QB in place, which I know you can wish in one hand and you know what in the other. If you get the right QB in place, then you're that much better. Because right now you have half a football team. If your offense can get going, at all, I mean, you guys know, it's not like they're completely devoid of talent. That's why you guys are frustrated. That's why I'm frustrated. The defense is playing its ass off. And I think a lot of us feel by the time the offense gets its act together, now all of a sudden we're going to have a problem with the defense. Because the defense is great. And here we are in another year where we're frustrated because our offense just can't figure it out. And it starts and finishes usually at the quarterback position. Sunday, if it weren't for Dillon Gabriel, it ended up being Kevin Stefanski. If it weren't for Kevin Stefanski, it ended up being the offensive line, really the left tackle position. If it wasn't the left tackle position, it was more drop footballs. Your offense can't figure it out. Meanwhile, your defense is sucking wind and having to go back out there and make another stop to keep you in the lead in a low-scoring telephone booth fight. And that's frustrating for a lot of fans. And then you're that close in winning some of these games. I mean, yeah, you had a couple of blowouts there. You're that close to winning a couple of these games, and now it's, well, we're going to trade away Greg Newsom on Wednesday night before we play the Steelers. Like, that's it. That's the year. The year's about finding out for next year. And that's why the drumbeat about, no, we don't need to talk about Bailey Zappe. The drumbeat for Shador is going to get louder and louder, and there's going to be more people doing it because you're telling everybody it ain't about this year when you make these moves. If it ain't about this year when you make these moves, hey, Dillon Gabriel might be really nice or perfectly fine, a fine Dillon Gabriel, but I think people are going to want to see, even for the curiosity to win their arguments, they're going to want to see whether or not Shador Sanders has a ceiling. That includes our entire afternoon. That really includes the entire station. Probably all the stations in town.
I'm curious, how does it matter to a Browns fan right now after a move like this and knowing, listening to everything you just said, that I think we're in agreement about, that more moves are going to be coming. Does it matter how ugly the rest of the season gets? Like, does it matter if it's a 4 or 5 win season and they're competitive, but in the end, you know, you're still eliminated very early? Or does it matter if it turns into a 3-win season and you're getting blown out a bunch by the end?
Because if you're getting blown out a bunch by the end, you know, some of these guys that you've taken, like, are you talking about Andrew or what
for,
do you say?
For everybody involved.
Some of these guys that you've taken, some of these guys are going to end up falling by the wayside here. I have a lot of hope for this draft class and even for the guy who wasn't drafted in Nathan Huntington, which I talked to him yesterday for the preview show. And I got to tell you, there is a lot of maturity on the defense. There's a lot of guys who have a great story to tell. And Their talent is good, but you wonder less why they're good as they are. Some of these guys aren't going to play that well. And like, if they're playing poorly, if they're getting beat like crazy, and then Tyson Campbell ends up sucking up the room, well, that's going to go against Andrew. Hey, you traded for this guy. This guy really ain't that good. So you made a lateral move for a guy that ain't that good. Your quarterbacks that you've taken, well, your quarterbacks are probably going to have to fall back down to earth. That means Dylan Gabriel's going to have to play worse somehow. So you might end up being right about that, because I can't see a world where he isn't taken care of, where he doesn't just get rid of the ball and play somewhat passable football. But you would end up being right about that. And then that would mean that Shador, damn hate to say it, just ain't going to be ready ever, and would go out there and fall flat on his face. And then, yeah, they have to answer to that. Everybody would have to answer to that, not just Kevin. Right now, it seems that Kevin is the guy who's handcuffed, and he doesn't have the power.
Did he not
and
look?
Andrew has the power.
Am I,
that,
am I wrong in saying,
that changes week
Ken,
by week. That's why I'm not trying to shoot my mouth off about power right now.
Am I wrong in saying that he looked very uncomfortable yesterday during that press conference? And that was before the trade? Maybe he knew the Newsom thing was coming.
Yes.
But that he knew his hands were going to be tied. He probably felt like his hands were already tied to start the season. But that's going to get a lot more
difficult. Because he's looking for a guy who understands his offense. And we can say whatever we want to, but damn it. And it doesn't make it easier. This is not, I can't defend 4-18 over the last 22 or whatever it's been that they kept bringing up yesterday afternoon. I can't defend that, and I won't. Because a couple of years ago, if we had all these same situations in place, everything might be fine. And you would go, okay, we can maybe trust Kevin to do this. But you don't trust Kevin now. And nobody else trusts Kevin now who are outside influences. So the more we go with Dylan Gabriel, who's just going to play fair enough football, the more you go with Dylan Gabriel just playing fair enough football, and Bailey Zappe is the backup, people are going to really know whether or not the coach has any idea what he's doing. And when I got guys like Bruce Arians questioning what he's doing, and Bryant McFadden was ripping him up and down yesterday, when you got guys who are former NFL coaches or former NFL players ripping him like crazy, it takes away from any of the legitimacy and certainly any of the trust. So now you trust him less, and you're wondering, where the hell's Shador? Why are you holding back Shador? Why are you holding back this guy? Quarterback guru, what are you doing now? Oh, we've only just begun. 216-474-0092, about last night in 20 minutes. I want to know, is it okay if Shador is not QB2? Because we're talking about the future now, folks. Wouldn't they just extended Greg a few years ago then? Like what Tyson Campbell did?
Well, this is the tough thing about this.
You couldn't back then because he wasn't playing that well.
Yeah,
so now all of a sudden he's playing well. So
he's playing too good. And yes, salary does matter.
He's your first round pick. He's your guy. He's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to hear, like, Greg might, they must be thinking there that this is, Greg's history shows you that he's not going to play this way the entire year. That's what they got to be thinking if they're going to make that move.
If MJ Emerson doesn't get hurt, is Greg even playing like this?
Right? No, because he's probably in the slot.
Yes. Yeah, excuse me, my voice cracked.
Which maybe we found over time, like they almost gave Jacksonville a cue on how he should be used.
Anyway, like a guy, I thought this was basically an even trade. The spirit of it, I agree with her in that sense. It's an even trade. Yeah, it would save them a couple of bucks, and because there's pangs, they're going to be paying on a player that, as of right now, they probably intend to cut this summer a hell of a lot of money, and they're paying Myles Garrett a hell of a lot of money, and they're paying Jerry Jeudy a bit of money. They're probably trying to save against the cap in some spaces. They certainly are. So fine. I hope Tyson Campbell works out well. I think it's a lateral move right now. Can end up being a nice move if he saves you money overall. I didn't think it was anything to get in a snit over this morning. I didn't get upset last night. I didn't even know last night. I fell asleep. But I wasn't upset this morning when they traded away Greg Newsom. But there are two things. I don't know if I want to say them. It's pretty depressing. You asked me earlier in the show about, I can't imagine what Myles Garrett's thinking. I got to wonder what Myles Garrett's thinking. That's what you're saying? I'm not trying to be unfeeling here. I don't care. I care about what Carson Schlesinger is thinking, or Mason Graham is thinking, or Aiden Huntington. I think I care about what he's thinking. I think he has a bright future, but he's not a first or a second round pick, but you get what I'm pointing out there. Quinshon Judkins, I care. I gotta look into the future. Miles signed his contract. And while Miles is a legendary player, every game you lose, like, you see what's going on the phones, and you see what goes on the street. Was it Woolly Bear on Sunday? And there were people going, can we trade him? Can we trade him? He shouldn't have to deal with this. I go, no. It's a really untrade. I think you have a better chance to trade Deshaun Watson right now than what you would with that, because it's just nonsensical after the money that's been spent. He signed his contract. So because you signed your contract and because you're making more generational wealth, I like Myles Garrett. Nice guy. Nice to my son. Said that a million times before. I don't have much sympathy.
No, it's not about sympathy, though. I'm talking about Miles because if you were to lose Miles at any point, then it's where we go from, oh, they're bad, but they're rebuilding. They're in a pivot year. Then you start talking about dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
We have not talked about dysfunction. I know some fans have gotten in, and because they're bad teams, they assume bad teams are dysfunctional. That's not necessarily the case. Like, I actually think they've been a normal functioning front office. We joke about the thought partner thing. I really do think they are pretty aligned. We've seen plenty of front offices and coaching staffs that were way less aligned than this one. So I do think there's been function. What I'm saying is, if Miles sees Newsom get traded,
this is the most dysfunctional function I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
it can be dysfunctional and working just fine.
Well, wait, you don't understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to it down.
So what I'm saying is, the minute Miles, who has signed his contract, and I'm not asking anybody to feel sympathy for him. My God, what a great deal. He barely has to practice now. He's day to day every day and then dominates during the games. So he's got a great setup. But when it comes to the rest of the guys that you're worried about, what Carson Schlessinger thinks.
Yeah,
you're
man.
Thinking Mason Graham. But if Miles starts becoming an issue because he sees you're not about winning, which they're not going to be about winning the rest of this year, next year, what's your offensive line situation? Are you really trying to compete next year when you have that offensive line situation? That's where I start to worry about things, because that's when it can really turn into dysfunction.
This is an opportunity to start to change culture here. That's what I'm concerned about. That's why I'm talking about the pups. I have to find silver lining in anything. I can't just say it sucks for the rest of my life. I have to have some smile in the future or some hope in the future. If not, then what's it all matter? What does any of this matter? So I have to try to look for the opportunity. And the opportunity is to try to find an effing culture for the first time in how long? We haven't had a culture. We were yelling about it during the offseason. And I can't rely on Miles to establish a culture. So I have to go to Aiden Huntington now and go, hey, here's your chance. Here's your chance to be a leader, Ben. Carson Schlessinger, Mason Graham, here's your chance. Here's your chance.
Well, funny thing is, though, does have an identity and a culture, don't you think? Fans might not like the dancing and the pyrotechnics.
Tyson Campbell, does he have a choreography background?
Yeah, but you can't deny that the Browns do have an identity. Like, there's a lot of bad teams that have no identity.
But your offense and how bad that is, I still need guys to be able to carry it over and to pick everybody up. Because this is the more disappointing and desperate and sad thing I have to say. Yeah, do you think they have any chance on Sunday in Pittsburgh?
I've lost a little bit. I just told Owen during the break when you were away, I'm like, I kind of feel like they can't win this week.
They traded him away on Wednesday night. He's their starting corner. What message does that say to the guys on their way in this morning when they woke up and saw, well, they probably were awake by that, but they saw it. What type of message does this send? And I love Mary Kay, but, well, the season's not gone yet. They got a funny way of showing it. Trading starters. Hey, I could understand Joe Flacco. Honestly, not trying to be overly dramatic here, and I'm a dramatic person. They could trade away Joe Flacco on Tuesday, and it's like, hey, he wasn't going to play anymore. You can explain that. That can be explainable, right? Hey, it's Cincinnati's hope. They're desperate. They're going to try to throw a Hail Mary. We'll see if that one works out. But you still got a starter there. And if we're talking about, if we're not talking about the future, which is fine if you want to go, hey, maybe Tyson Campbell will be better. That's great. You still got a game. You got to try to win on Sunday. This whole distraction when your own franchise is making moves here, I'm supposed to get excited and wave pom-poms and get excited about Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh? Like, if the game was at home, maybe, but this is in Pittsburgh. And I'm just having flashbacks because I'm a Browns fan and I've watched it on. I'll never go to a Browns Steelers game in Pittsburgh. God, that would be a prison sentence for me, a legitimate one. I'm waiting to see it on TV. I'm waiting to hear Renegade. I'm waiting to see the towels, and I'm waiting there for that place to turn into a rock concert. Because these moves, this is such a massive distraction. And I'm supposed to think, oh yeah, season. They're still trotting. It's week six. They got Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday. Ain't about winning on Sunday. I hope. That's why I'm like, hey, this is an opportunity for the young guys to step in there and go, you know what, damn it. I'm supposed to be a future cornerstone of this football team. I can't just sit. Money's nice. I can't just sit here and suck up the room here for the rest of my life. I'm a national champion if I'm Mason Graham, okay? I'm a national champion if I'm Quinshon Judkins. I came from winning programs. I can't have this. Oh, no.
One of those has an asterisk, but yeah, I agree.
What's going on here? Is it a great big beginning of something? Or is it just an opportunity that presented itself twice this week? Browns have made another trade. Greg Newsome being traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. By the way, can I just throw this in that I haven't heard yet?
G-New?
Are you really going to try and make the team that you have their number one pick next year better?
It's a good point.
Think about that one.
Yeah.
You just made a trade with the team who you already have their number one for next year. So you're probably not trying to make them better, are you?
That's a great point.
Thanks.
We didn't even contemplate that in our early morning meeting.
I wanted to spring it on you right here live on the air.
It's a very well thought out platform you have there, Mr.
Phelps. That's Andy Baskin. Yes. I'm Jeff Phelps. Do you really want to get that team better?
No.
Exactly.
Did we make the Bengals better?
Maybe.
Is that what we're about? I don't think that. I just don't feel like.
See, that's the thing. You either made the Bengals better.
This isn't Charlie Finley selling off the A's.
I don't think feel so that, either.
No.
That's Andy. I'm Jeff. Welcome to Baskin and Phelps. Join us 216-474-0092. We have a lot of big namers coming up in the show today, Andy.
Oh, do we ever. DeCostas is going to join us. He's our Odyssey Sports betting insider. Although, have you heard his commercials? He's
very calm in the commercials.
Yes, it's like Nick Costas light in his commercials.
Yeah, and then he gets on with us and he's boom, baby.
He is high powered energy, man. If you need a Red Bull, he is the Red Bull of radio for you. Daryl Ryder, 11:20, breaks down all of the happenings with the Browns. Mike Florio gives us a national perspective.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Pro Football Talk. He's got a book, you know, Big Shield.
Big.
Got to talk about that. And Charles Robinson, super friend of the show, Yahoo Sports Podcast, YouTube show. Inside coverage with Andrew Siciliano. So here's our buddy. Yes.
There's a double whammy right there.
I know. Look at that. Look at the guests that Menigan books. He is outstanding.
Browns have traded, as we've heard it all morning, Greg Newsome and a sixth round pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguar.
For Tyson Campbell and a seventh.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does this mean? Trying to make some sense of it, trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing and one thing only about this. Okay? Comparable player. This one that's coming back, financially wrapped up for a number of years. At a price tag that you know what it's going to be. Who's already signed his multi-year extension.
Yep.
And has been paid a big chunk of it already by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguar.
In Greg Newsome, you have a guy who's going to be a free agent, probably, and I'm speculating here. Remember, he was the number three corner here until Martin Emerson got hurt.
Correct.
Probably going to command more on the open market than the Browns thought they should pay him. And remember, Browns have never been accused of being cheap.
No.
But being wise and being cheap are two different things. So, Andy, you've traded comparable corners. They were drafted right near each other in the same draft. Comparable corners. One of them, financially, here's what it is. We know what it is. You're under contract for a number of years. They've already paid a big chunk of your money, so we're not on the hook for it. For a guy who, I like him. We've loved having him on the show. I think he's played better this year since he moved to the outside at corner as well. But everybody was complaining about him last year. I thought undeservedly so. But a guy whose price tag will probably be a lot more than it will cost the Browns to pay Tyson Campbell.
I just feel like this deal last night, the way you presented it, I think is correct. I think it's more financial than physical. That
because you got a good corner and you gave up a good corner.
It's kind of a wash on the athletic ability, isn't it? And at times,
it feels that way.
At times you could say Campbell maybe was better or is. He's equal to or better than Greg Newsome, I think. I'm just, and this is, I mean.
Very comparable.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a huge.
How about this?
It's not, the bottom line on this, and I think this is where Browns fans are looking at it, is did they end up are they like just starting to trade everybody? It's not a matter of looking at what looks like a pretty even deal for both teams. I think Browns fans are looking at this, well, they traded Flacco one day, now Geno's gone, who's next? That it's not about this deal in particular. It's about
trading
what are they
people.
Thinking? Yeah, yeah, what are they thinking in the front office?
What are they thinking? Is it fair to say both of these deals this week were deals of convenience? If they truly weren't expecting to get any calls on Flacco and they didn't make any calls, and then all of a sudden they got a call and they figured out they can move up some spots in the draft to trade him, does that one make sense? I'm still a little puzzled about trading it to a team you're trying to catch.
Yeah, if you go backwards in the DeLorean, you just have to ask yourself, okay, again, why did they bring Pickett and Flacco in here if neither one of these guys was going to be here 5 weeks into the season? And again, I ask, for all the drama they have incurred here, if they wanted Sanders, they should have just taken Sanders no matter where he was. And if they wanted Gabriel, then they should have just brought in one of these guys. That's what causes the drama. That is the fuel on the fire.
Did you have to go quarterback already?
Well, I'm just saying, because we're looking at what are they doing? In 2 days in a row, they've traded guys.
Yeah, but you sound like you're panicked about that.
I'm not panicked. Like, I just don't. I didn't think.
Is that the voice? That's the way your voice sounds all the time, even when you're not panicked?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe that's why my wife's yelling at me all the time. Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. I'm not yelling. What do you mean? I'm not yelling. I'm just making a point.
A little Seinfeld in there.
Yeah, I can. I heard him. He was nasal.
He was in there.
It was almost like Jerry moved to Cleveland.
What are you doing?
Jerry moved to Cleveland. He had the Cleveland accent with him.
It might have been.
What are they doing, Jeff? What are they doing?
The Flacco trade doesn't bother me. Okay, I've explained that. The only catch with that one is this. All right, well, you are, in theory, trying to compete this year with these other teams in the division. And there's a chance you made that team better. Again, I said this yesterday. I think Joe will play better in Cincy than he played here. I think he's got better wide receivers, and that will allow him to show his arm. And if he doesn't get his head knocked off by a bad offensive line, then I think he should play better there. Is it enough to put them back on track and make the playoffs? I don't know. We'll see. I'd be surprised. But you are trying to catch them, and in theory, you just gave them their starting quarterback for the rest of this season. And then with the trade they just made now, you swapped pretty decent corners, and you swapped with a team you have their first-round pick next year, so you want them to lose as many games as possible. So did you help them at all? Is Jacksonville trying to get out? Why did Jacksonville make the trade? Are they trying to get out of a long-term commitment to Tyson Campbell? Maybe.
Maybe these two teams actually wanted the other player back in the drafts.
Yeah.
Maybe the Browns.
Jacksonville wanted Newsom.
Yeah. Jacksonville imploded their front office before this year as a brand new front office coaching staff. So everybody who is in there who made that draft pick is out the door.
Yeah. Campbell did not.
Yeah, but that's not to say
this regime.
There isn't somebody in their front office that wasn't around on another team that maybe wanted.
But the head decision maker, the guy who would make those draft picks, or at least the guy who would rubber stamp those draft picks, is unemployed.
Right. But the point is, why did they make the trade? I would think it might be to get out from a contract that they didn't give the guy, so they don't have to pay him anymore. And then they can figure out, do they like Greg Newsome? Do they want to sign him? Whatever. But it is funny to me. Browns want Jacksonville to lose. Here, take a corner. We'll take yours. Just kind of a strange dynamic to me.
There's one other point to be made here, too, with making two deals in 2 days. And we talked about this for a second. Andrew Berry needs to get behind a microphone right now and talk and just say what's going on here to kind of ease the minds of, I would think, even his own locker room. Forget about the fans. To let his locker room kind of know. Because you can't tell me when guys start getting traded that people aren't looking around that room going, oh, who's next? Who's next? Who's the next guy that's going to get traded? Oh, man. Ooh, Njoku. Ooh, he could be worth something. Or Jerry Jeudy, right? I mean, they've made other trades for wide receiver or on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Denzel's name comes up all the time. I don't know why you would mess with the defense right now. I just don't know.
Although
I understand.
You just kind of did.
I know you did a little with Geno. I get it. I don't feel like they went all in on like, oh, we're the white flag for defense. I still think our defense is pretty damn good. And they brought in a guy that was equal to or maybe even perhaps better at times than Greg Newsome. So I don't have a real problem with that. What I will have a problem with is if Kevin Stefanski has to get out there and answer all these questions again. And if the Browns want to learn one thing from the baseball team in town, they are never, ever, ever scared to talk to the media. And when your general manager doesn't pop out and talk when you start making deals, you start to wonder. And then rather than giving the media and the fans the answers you want them to know that you want to say, you let everybody speculate about what's going on. The Indians/Guardians have done this for years. And whenever there's an issue, the general manager is there to answer questions. Andrew Berry, who I like a lot, needs to step out in front of a microphone over the next couple days here and let everybody know what's going on. It wouldn't be bad for him to do it today or tomorrow, because every time he doesn't speak and they make another move, you're throwing your head coach under the bus and you're making players answer the questions for moves that you just made.
The Newsome trade is a little bizarre to me. I mean, he's really a really good player. I mean, obviously losing Emerson in training camp really hurt. But defensively, they played very, very well. And Newsome's a part of that. And I thought he was playing well. I don't really totally understand the trade. Tyson Campbell is a good player. He's a big corner. You know, they're having a lot of success taking the ball away in Jacksonville. Maybe it's just something that both teams feel like benefits their team. And I don't think that's a distraction. But, you know, I mean, it's playing for Jim Schwartz's defense is, I would say, is fairly complex. I don't know how quickly he can be up to speed right now.
Brian Baldinger on with the morning show. Pretty explosive morning with Baldy, with the morning boys. Said a lot of stuff we're going to react to today. I actually disagree. I don't think it's a bizarre trade if you kind of know where the Browns are and where they're going to go. Greg Newsome, although they could have re-signed him, I think at some point you have to decide between re-signing him and MJ Emerson. I think we know which way they'd go.
Well, and now that you see the price is going to be north of $20 million a year for Greg Newsome.
Yeah.
And, come on, that's not happening.
And I think Tyson Campbell is at the very least a player who you can evaluate over the final parts of the season and figure out what's happening. And while in doing so, you're going to save $8 million. Like, I don't think the financial component of this is the Browns try and figure out the whole salary cap going forward. I don't think that can be undersold. To me, this is a salary dump.
Well, but there's
with
also
a player they kind of like.
Well, there's also really high upside if they can get Campbell turned around. And, and again, if he stays healthy and everything is another component to it. But if Schwartz feels like he can do something with him and put him in more man coverage, and which I doubt they'll do, but like try there with him. Okay, now we're starting to cook here, also with the idea that Jacksonville's paying so much of that money to begin with anyway. It's about $1.5 million a year as a flyer for a guy that got a $75 million contract.
What's funny about it is Campbell at his best is way better than Greg Newsome at his best.
Yeah.
Oh, with love and respect to Greg Newsome, peaks. You were here 4.5 years. That means something to someone. Greg's highs were never really that high. Even though he was okay on the outside, like, I think he had a couple nice games this year, and I think people really took it too far with the praise on Greg Newsome.
Well, and that might be where the Browns are sitting too. Like, wait, and so everyone's buying the Greg Newsome stock right now. Maybe we got to sell while it's high. Maybe we got to sell while we can. And it seems like Jacksonville's that guy.
Yeah, and again, you saved $8 million. But why I call it a salary dump is they get the better pick. When you're getting the seventh rounder and they're getting the sixth rounder in a pick swap. That's telling you that you had to adjust the value for some reason. Yes, some of that is Greg Newsome's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. And some of it's also that not only did Jacksonville take on the Newsome money, They also ate the salary, the signing bonus of Tyson Campbell, which again cleared you about $8 million in cap this year.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like after the trade involving these two teams at the draft, if all of a sudden, and James Gladstone's the youngest GM in all of the NFL, right? And that's only surpassed by the idea that Andrew Berry was the youngest GM hired when he was hired by the Browns. But I wonder if after the two teams dealt with each other in the draft, I wonder if, do you think Andrew Berry just thinks that he can just pick on Jacksonville at this point?
I don't know. But I do think he knows that James Gladstone is super willing to do what
very aggressive
and whatever you want.
And Gladstone's already trying to win not only these press conferences, but like you already saw him. He's already taken victory laps in Jacksonville today about how much better the team is with Greg Newsome and all these other comments and everything. Like I almost wonder if this is Andrew Berry. You know, this happens in baseball. I love this in baseball. There's certain teams that are very analytically driven and they just pick on, and they're now every front office has analytics guys, and so it's tightened up a little bit. But about a decade, 15 years ago, you'd call up teams that just had those old school baseball guys that played with their hunch and their gut, and you just take them to the cleaners in these type of deals. And I wonder if Andrew Berry, I wonder if that trade for the draft and the draft opened his eyes to like Jacksonville's someone I want to keep doing business with, because I think I fleeced him there, and I wonder if I can get him again.
By the way, the answer now in baseball is Jerry DePoto or AJ Preller. You'd really like to get in with it. By the way, really smart close, analytics though. Guys, but those are the guys you can really
it's
rip
really
off.
It's really close. Like 15 years ago, it was like half the league was just a bunch of just basically old baseball guys that didn't really know what was going on versus all these analytically driven guys. And you could just see them all just feast over on those guys.
Now, I think the fair question is, how far does this go? I don't think these two trades this week constitute tanking. I don't. But if Njoku's the next guy, that's a guy, you've got a bad offense. That's a guy that has a place on this team this year and might be your best receiver at the moment, which is wild to say at this point, but it is true. If you trade him, or if you trade any of your interior linemen, but certainly Wyatt Teller, like those are the guys that if you make a move, even if you get great value, you cannot tell people you're not tanking because you are removing the guardrails, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
How far does this go then?
I don't think there's anybody untouchable.
That's kind of where I'm sitting right now. Well, there are untouchables with like rookie class and stuff like that. Yeah,
but like in terms of like the guys
that are in their last year or second to last year.
Yeah, yeah. Or honestly, like we'll play the Nick Costos audio right now because he was on Baskin and Phelps and he threw an interesting name out there.
I think 4-6 weeks from now, we are going to be talking about Isaiah Bond as being the number one receiver on this team. I actually see no reason why they would keep Jerry Jeudy on the team. I think this is going to be like a fire sale come trade deadline time. And Njoku could be on the way out. I'm not reporting anything, just saying, like Harold Fannin's been really good. You save money if Njoku is on the way out. And I think they want to open up space for Bond and maybe for Jamari Thrash. So I wouldn't be shocked if Judy's not on the team post-trade deadline.
I would be shocked if Jerry Jeudy was not
also,
on the team.
I would also be shocked. But like, I think what the narrative driven out of that clip, though, is the idea that basically anybody's on the table.
I think the thing with Jeudy is, and maybe this is like Newsom, but as a wide receiver, I'm sure that there are fans who would drive Jerry to the airport themselves. Mm-hmm. My thing is, again, the offense isn't that good with Jerry on it. And I do think like, Jerry has had, there should be a 30 for 30 on the quarterbacks that have thrown to him. He's never had a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's never played with a good quarterback. I mean, like, where, by the way, not even a functional quarterback. The best he had was Jameis Winston for like 7 weeks last year.
I'm gonna say maybe the version of Russell Wilson that we were like, is he washed? Is he not washed?
Where we didn't definitively know
that,
he was
that
washed.
That one right in between there. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is.
But like, I guess my thing is like, while I'm not high on Jerry Jeudy and I'm pretty sick of watching him drop footballs, I don't know what you're actually going to get for him.
Well, and also you got to think about the quarterback that you'd be drafting in 2026 and the environment he's got to enter as well.
Yeah.
Like you can go out and get wide receivers, but you're already two wide receivers short as is.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you want to like pay $25 million a year to Jakobi Meyers this offseason, who I just wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
If we're being very fair, I wouldn't do that. 216-474-0092. How far should the trades go for the Browns? But Njoku, like, if you don't think you're going to commit money to him and there can be a savings this year, yeah, fourth rounder for David Njoku, let's have that conversation. Teller's the hardest one for me.
Well, nope. Especially because you have four guys in the offensive line that are up at the end of the season anyway.
Yeah.
So well, like, you're going to need to spend money on the offensive line at the end of the season. I wonder if they just go for a completely new look, though.
Yeah, but that's hard. It is hard between... If I knew Whipler could step in at center, and if I knew Zach Zinter could hold down one of the guard spots, and maybe we put right tackle for Dwan. Maybe, okay, well, that's three. You really only need two of five spots, but okay, Whipler's had injury issues. Yeah, Jones has had injury issues.
I wouldn't
issues.
Trust Zach Zinter to hold anything. Nonetheless, a spot on a football team.
I would trust him to hold a defensive lineman.
Zach Zinner?
Yeah, because he's not good at football.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. But, I think Wyatt might be the only one that if you traded him, I would be legitimately mad about, even if you got, like, a third-round pick for him. I think I would get legitimately pissed because he's 30.
Mm.
That's still young enough to pay. He's still got good football in front of him. And you have so many holes next year. I don't think you need to add one more on that offensive line.
Who are we mad about if they actually trade?
I'm probably not mad about Njoku.
I'm not mad. You know Njoku is one of my favorite players, has been for a long time. I think, what was it, yesterday or maybe a couple days ago? Would you call me an Njoku honk or something?
I don't know, but that sounds about right.
It was something that was like, yeah, and that's fair. That's very fair. I've been very much a fan of David Njoku for a while. But if they traded him, at this point, I'd just be happy for him. But good for you if they traded him to a good team.
Unless it was like Arizona, and then I'd feel sad for him again.
Well, yeah, they also have one of the best tight ends in the league. I think it'd be fine there.
Hey, who's their OC? Our old quarterbacks coach. You're
going to do a Trey McBride, David Njoku combo?
The double tight end set. And I wouldn't be about Njoku. Maybe Malik Collins. Because I think Malik's got another year after this. I don't know what kind of trade offer you'd get for Malik. I would be kind of mad about that one.
He's somebody that his value is higher than it typically would be because he's playing really well right now.
I'll give you one, Alex Wright.
Okay.
I think when the time comes this offseason to re-sign Alex, he'll command a little money. I don't think he's going to command a lot of money. I think that's a piece on that defensive line that needs to be
here. No, but I'm talking actually angry. I'm not talking like a piece you come in and you're like just scratching your head and you're like, I don't know how they got there. I'm talking like actually angry, like Isaiah Bond angry.
Oh, I don't think anything's going to make me as mad as Isaiah Bond.
That's the point.
I was mad. That was rage that you saw with the Isaiah Bond signing. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the point, though, is that I feel like right now, the way I'm looking at these players and the way I'm looking at this roster, if they get any value out of any of these guys, if they start to signal that this season is what this season is starting to trend to. I can't be mad about it.
But can I tell you the thing that does stand out? As we have the, is it a fire sale? Are they tanking?
That's the other thing. Why are we all so confused on this? Why is a fan base, are we not collectively on understanding what's going on here?
Because it's quick. That they pulled the ripcord on the season really quickly.
It just snuck up on people?
No.
Like 5 weeks in, it's just too early to abandon expectations or whatever else?
I think rightfully so. People said it's been an ungodly first 5 weeks. I mean, a comedy of errors.
Oh, heard from another person in the 8-9 win club, by the way. Coach Riz texted and said he's going to win the burger bet.
Yeah, sure you are, buddy. Yeah. I can already taste it. I just wonder where I'm going to go. However, I think people thought maybe you'll get to week 8 or week 9, and then you pull the ripcord on the season. You're not even waiting to get to Miami or the Titans game. You're not even waiting to get to the point of the season. Like, you're doing this before you got through the hardest part of the season. And I think that's where people are struggling. Not me, because I'm like, I mean, you're 1-4. You're probably going to be 1-5.
You're 3-win Wilson. You had this coming from a mile away.
And I also have a burger bet, three of them, on this. But like,
I wonder, YouTube, the super chat must be getting mad about your burger bets at some point here.
Why?
You're enjoying the burger bets a little too much, I think.
I'm winning. How can you be mad?
Because the Browns are losing.
Okay, but it's not my fault.
You see how this is? It's real.
My success and their downfall might be tied together.
It seems like it is.
Be happy for your boy. All right, Super Chat? I'm happy for the Super Chat. When the Super Chat gets good things, you can be happy for me too. But no, I mean, I think it's early. I think after the first 5 weeks of the season, 1 week into Dylan Gabriel, by the way, which we can talk about going from he's going to spark the team to now we have to find out what we have in Dylan Gabriel.
Which, by the way, becomes
harder.
We made
that switch in one damn week.
Well, it becomes harder if you start selling off all the pieces, too.
Yes, especially in Njoku, especially Wyatt Teller.
I mean,
or
you
Posick
know,
or
you
Conklin.
Can hear my Shedeur Sanders excuse from a mile away, can't you?
Would you be mad if they traded Shedeur?
Yes. I'd also be happy for him at this point because they don't really seem like they want to play him.
What if they got a fourth rounder for
him?
They
seem like they don't want to play him.
What if they took a fifth rounder and swapped it for a fourth rounder?
Part of me would be happy about this. You realize I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be good.
Uh huh.
So I'm not. No, I would not be happy about this.
Okay. I was just trying to say
you can tell how where my excuse is going to come from a mile away if he does in fact play.
That you just be happy
and
for
stinks
him?
Up the joint. No, if he plays and gets in at like week 14 or 15 and it's just a disaster.
Oh, they sabotaged him.
Not that they sabotaged him. They never gave him a chance.
Ah.
With this roster and the amount of pieces that they've sold off and everything in between, never gave him a chance.
I think we're going to get very close to the point of being able to say that about Dylan Gabriel.
Well, that's where we're not there yet, but I wondered if we're going to hit that spot where everyone looks around and it's like, I don't even know that we can fairly judge Dylan Gabriel at this point.
216-474-0092. Greg Newsom, he gone. Tyson Campbell, he here. Joe Flacco's in Cincinnati. He actually will start this weekend as well. How far should this go for the Browns? That's another thing. Speaking of the timing of this, trading Wyatt Teller today would feel, or Monday would feel different to me than if you waited till the exact trade deadline. Those 4 weeks do matter. I think it's 4 weeks. Those 4 weeks do matter because it's about giving these guys there at some point, pulling the plug on this season this early is disrespectful to the guys that you sold something on. And then, I mean, you bait and switched it for that locker room. I don't know how that locker room's happy today if you think you got worse at corner and now you don't have the fallback of Joe Flacco at quarterback.
There was a reason why they sent Joel Bitonio out there to speak to the media today. Anytime they send out Joel, it's like, we know you're gonna do our bidding in a good way.
Not trying to steal Ken's bit, but Joel kind of is the Culligan, man.
He plays the part well.
He carries that water really well.
And he did so today, too. And if you're Joe, by the way, you got to be livid that this is how this is going down.
Yeah.
You came back. You returned. You tried to save them for another season, all with the grandiose idea that they were going to try to be competitive or do something close to competitive. Not this. Whatever this is, not this. And they're starting to sell off pieces?
Just wait until...
We're in week six.
Just wait until they try and trade Joel. I think that will legitimately piss people off. Even though it's even though he's end of his career, maybe last five games, unless he asks for it.
Yeah, I don't think they could do that.
You put it beyond this organization?
I put nothing beyond this organization, but that is as ruthless gets.
I put nothing beyond
this
organization.
He would just quit on the spot. He'd be like, I'm just done.
I don't think he would.
Unless they send him to Kansas City or somewhere. I'm just done.
I got to do right by Joel. 216-474-0092. How far are the trades going to go? How far should the trades go for the Cleveland Browns? Our buddy Joe Vardner, The Athletic, joins us and talks the latest for the Cavaliers. And of course, the insane live basketball idea. I'm okay. That was too heavy-handed. Joe joins in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.